We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, BronxPinstripes.com proudly brings to you the most exciting Yankees podcast in the world, George's Box.
All the dramatic things I've ever seen. George's Box. Goodness gracious.
Welcome back to George's Box, home of your future World Series champion, New York Yankees, just walking it off, a terrific team victory, 6-5 over the Twins. The city is alive. COVID can never stop New York City. Broadway is back. Yeah, this team fucking sucks.
I don't even know where to start. They've won two games.
I would say let's start with the sucking.
Yeah, they've won twice since we last talked. One of those wins was literally 5 minutes ago against the Twins. So, yeah, two wins since we last spoke.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this team is who I've said they were. You've agreed with me to who we've said they were all year. They're unmotivated to know what's on the line. I tweeted today, I am fucking exhausted. Exhausted. From doing math. I'm tired of trying to figure out how many wins we need over the next X amount of games to maybe have a shot.
Yeah, I'm done checking the standings. We're 0.5 up. We're 0.5 back. We're 1.5 back of home field. We're 0.5 back of the second spot. Yeah, the shit's exhausting. Shit's exhausting. We're either going to be in a one-game playoff or we'll be in 2 1-game playoffs if we tie for the second wild card. We can get into that and what a clusterfuck that would be. Or we'll be going home on October 2nd. Those are the three options.
Yeah. We try not to go game by game, and we're not going to go game by game. But like that Blue Jays series was just no fight. I mean, we on Monday were so demoralized with that 8-0 loss that it was like, all right, these guys, I don't believe in like that the things we say impact the team at all.
Of course.
But there was a part of me that was like, you know, obviously after we hung up from that show, I don't think either one of us was like, hey, you know what? We did a good job on that show.
It was awful.
It was awful. It was the frustration. It's a holiday. Like all those things. And I was like, you know what? They'll probably turn it around now to make us look stupid.
No.
And they did not.
They did not. And you know what that show reminded me of was when we first started this, like early 2020, when the season was postponed and we weren't sure when it was going to start. And we just, neither of us really wanted to talk about it just because there was nothing going on. You were hungover from the wedding. I'm dealing with the ankle. We just weren't feeling it, to be
yeah.
to be straight up. The team was giving us nothing. It's almost like the team and our circumstances kind of broke us.
I'll be honest. I forgot that we had to do a show until you texted me. And I had just gotten in bed when you texted me at like whatever it was, like 1 o'clock. I was like, yeah, I'm doing a nap. I just don't have it in me. Yeah, I mean, to get swept against a division rival that you're a couple of games ahead of.
Who's gunning for our spot.
Who's exactly. gunning for our spot is just like, you guys ever watch MTV The Challenge?
I have.
You're familiar with it. This was that situation right there. That was a hall brawl. That was we're going head on, and we got fucking pancaked.
At home, man. Four games at home. And Dan can check this. I think they've won, what, four games against the Blue Jays? They got to be like 4-11, 5-12. It's been horrible. And they've played like that, played awful against Boston, awful against Tampa. They're, what, a game over 500 against the Orioles? Like, when we look back and say what went wrong this season, it starts with your division in any sport. If you can't beat the teams in your own division, you're not going anywhere. And they simply have not taken care of business in the East.
And, I mean, there's times you can point out, like, hey, are they unmotivated or are they just not good? It's one of the two. There's no other. We didn't lose that game, those four games, because of bad umpiring. We didn't lose it because of all the injuries.
No, we're healthy right now.
Yeah.
Fairly. Yeah, and I think it's a combination, though. I think they're not talented enough, but I also think they're adopting the personality of their manager, which every team does, which is, hey, everything's going to be all right. You know, we stay even keeled. Who cares if we lost 10 in a row? You know, Boone talks about how they keep the same vibe, whether they've won 10 in a row or lost 10 in a row. I don't think that's a good thing. I think you should have a little bit of emotion. There should be some ups and downs. Staying this even keel the entire time, I don't know if that works.
Yeah, no, it's unhealthy. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. And that's what it is. So, I mean, there's been a lot of times throughout this season where I've been like, Aaron Boone's not coming back. He shouldn't come back. But I've never said that firing him in season made sense until Thursday night. You lose four at home against a division rival, setting yourself up to fall out of the playoffs, going in to Queens for 9/11. 20-year anniversary weekend, that's the time to fire Aaron Boone.
Yeah, I would have been fine with that. I had thought about it. I think it was around 4th of July when they were like – I think they were 500 on 4th of July, and that was kind of my breaking point to fire him. And not only that, Jack, is they shit the bed in that Blue Jay series, and then they go into Citi Field on Friday night and played some of the worst baseball I'd ever seen. You got Gary, who doesn't know how to make a tag. We'll dissect that play. I think Glaber made at least one error in that game, maybe two. All right, we're 6-10 versus Toronto. Thanks, Dan. So bad. Friday night, watching Gumby, I think that inning he gave up six runs. I mean, that was pitiful.
Yeah. Oh, wow. We're 28-36 versus the AL East.
Yeah, there you go.
That's supposed to be with
the Orioles, dude. That, like,
The only problem is that we don't get to play ourselves. It's unfair.
Yeah. Or can we get, like, 20 more games against the Twins? Because then we'd probably win the division.
Yeah. At that point. Yeah, but so I thought coming out of Thursday night, like just a lifeless performance, a lifeless series, that it's clear at that point that the guy who makes the lineup, the guy who submits the lineup card, the guy who makes the changes is not motivating these players. The team won 13 games in a row. The talent is there.
Yeah, the talent there is talent there, but is it enough? Is it enough talent? I don't know about our infield, man. I don't know if, like, the outfield has a lot of talent, Stanton, Judge, sure, but I don't know about the way our infield's playing, if the talent's really there, and the catching position.
Well, I mean, the outfield, there's clearly a lot of potential with.
Yes.
Rizzo at first base, not going to hate that. DJ's been finding some hits. He's looked a little bit more like himself. Urshela when Urshela has played good offensively, it's been a shock for us. Like, that's bonus. He's a gold glove caliber defensive player.
He is.
Gleyber Torres is a black hole.
You think about all the places to place the blame, and I think it's got to start with Torres, number one. I mean, he's the worst fielding shortstop I think that I've ever seen, and clearly the experiment's over. Boone said today they're going to move him off pretty much permanently. I mean, that's as scathing of criticism as you'll ever get from Boone, saying that you're done playing here. They're going to move him to second. They're going to have Gio play short, but it's sad, man. It's sad to see just how far this kid's fallen in a short time.
So – for anybody who's like, you know what, this team's going to win the World Series with a third baseman moving over to shortstop, who's only played shortstop in pretty much like emergency situations, and we are taking a Gold Glove second baseman and moving him to third base. Our infield has gotten worse because we're catering to a guy who hasn't played well in 2.5 years.
18 errors for Torres, and he missed.
And he's missed,
he missed 6 weeks.
He's missed time.
It's horrible. And I want to push back. So a lot of times we heard this with Andujar, right? Oh, maybe he'll get better as he gets older. You don't develop better range or more quickness as you get older. Your arm doesn't get stronger as you get older. You can either field or you can't. This idea that, oh, maybe he'll get better, I think that's a total fallacy.
Yeah, I mean, I was fine with the experiment, you know, as it went through last year. I was fine with it to start this year. I mean, he came in spring training and he looked good. He looked like he put in the work. And I'm not saying the guy didn't put in the work. I've never said Glaber doesn't care, Glaber doesn't try, or any of those things. He just can't do the job. And sometimes that's what it comes down to. And it's fine for that to happen. Which points me back to Boone and Cashman. Cashman has year in and year out ran out a roster that has no depth at the shortstop position. Zero depth. Tyler Wade is who we've got. And then Boone takes until September 13th to realize the shortstop with 18 errors who's missed like 6 weeks is maybe not the best option out there for us.
It's about time, man. The only good thing about it is that it's in time for this big shortstop free agent class. Like, at least Glaber is telling us now, while we still have time to buy more groceries, you know what I mean? That this meal isn't going to work. Like, we still have time to go to the supermarket before the hurricane hits. Because if he had had a good year this year, we don't sign any of the shortstops, and then he sucks next year. Like, we're kind of fucked. This way, if they want to sign Seager or Baez or Correa or any of those guys, you know, they know that Glaber isn't it, at least.
You're a Seager guy. That's who you
want,
right?
I'm a big Seager guy, yes.
I mean, I think he's very talented, but I don't think Javi Baez is what we need.
I don't either. I just mentioned him in the name.
Yeah.
But yeah, Seager's my number one. Do you have a first choice out of that?
I think Seager, a big part of it is just being lefty.
Yeah.
Because I don't trust us to get other lefties. But if your options are, and it's not Glaber, but we find another shortstop who's got good defense but isn't a superstar shortstop. Similar to like we go out, we get like a Didi type player, like the way we got him last time. I don't want Didi now. And he's throwing the ball to Rizzo, or you have Seager and he's throwing the ball to Voit. Which one do you want? Because I don't see a Rizzo-Seager offseason.
No, I'd rather have Seager. I'd rather have Seager throwing a boy. Now, Seager isn't a great defensive shortstop. He grades out around average, but he's so good with the bat. He's a World Series MVP, you know, can hit in the playoffs. So he's my guy there. I don't think – like, the more I think about it, I don't think they're going to re-sign Rizzo regardless with Voit on the roster and with our other holes. So that makes the lefty bat and Seager even more appealing to me. So, yeah, that's where I am with that.
I mean, I think if they were to re-sign – Rizzo and whatever it is, you know, the day after that, it's like, what kind of shit are we going to hear from Voit about everything he's done for New York City?
Right. for the city. But you think about free agency in general, there's not a lot of money coming off the books. I mean, Kluber makes $11 million. He's coming off. Gardner, I think, whatever, $4 or $5 million, whatever he makes, they'll decline his option. But they don't have a lot of expiring.
There's not an option. There is not an option on Brett Gardner. He signed a 2-year contract.
No, he did. They can buy it out for like $2 million.
They can buy it out. But as of right now, like, Brett Gardner is on the team.
I think they're going to buy it out. But even if they do, that's $2 million towards the payroll. So starting after next year, they'll have Britton coming off, Chapman coming off. They'll have more flexibility. But I don't see how they can improve and stay under 210. Like, I don't really – what are they going to do with $15 million this offseason?
Well, you also got to remember, I mean, Judge is having a monster season. He's going to get more money this year. Gallo's got 30-something home runs.
Gallo maybe – him and Judge could both make, yeah, high teens, maybe 20. So let's segue this. Let's segue this right into Gary Sanchez. Do you non-tender him? Should we pay him $8 million, $9 million? I would – somebody put a gun to my head today. I would say non-tender and free up the $9
million. Someone put a gun to my head, I'd ask the borrower to shoot Gary Sanchez in the fucking head.
Inexcusable. And you know I'm the biggest one of the biggest Gary guys.
You are the biggest Gary guy. Joey Gallo is only making $6.2 million this year. He's got 30-something home runs.
He'll jump. That'll jump to what? 11, 10, 11?
Maybe 12.
12. I'm not like an arbitration expert.
Yeah, I'm not either. I mean, the last thing we want is to go to arbitration. You know, you don't want to end up in arbitration. You'd absolutely ruin your relationship with the player. But what he hit, what, his 33rd home run today? Been a two-time All-Star. Like, I'm surprised he makes that much less than Aaron Judge, New York market.
Yeah, I mean, he's just as good of a defender, too. That's puzzling.
Stays healthier.
Doesn't hit for as high of an average as Judge, he definitely strikes out more. But, you know, guys are going to get raises, and for me, I'm non-tendering Gary instead of giving him a raise. I don't think that's even a question at this point. Like, I used to be like, you know, the talent will take over. He had the bat speed, the exit velo, the arm strength, but it's clearly not – they're not able to unlock it, or he's not able to bring it out.
Since the Subway Series has started, you would say you've probably watched close to, if not every single Subway Series game, right?
Yeah.
There's been some doozies. I can 1,000% say – that was the single worst play in the history of the Subway Series. I don't care about a pop-up that loses a game.
Wow. See, I would have said Castillo, yeah.
Castillo was backpedaling on a pop-up with lights and shit. Gary Sanchez had to stand there.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with you. And it was the tying run at the time. All he had to do was stand there. And he moves out of the way. Like, dude, they got the Buster Posey rule. You're not allowed to collide. Just stand there. He's all not going to collide stand with you.
No, but he was on to his at-bat. You know when a receiver has a ball thrown to them and they drop it because they turn too early because, you know, they made a football move before they caught it? That's what Gary was in the dugout getting ready for his at-bat in his mind.
You're exactly right. And I think all of us had the same thought process, which was like, oh, shit, that was kind of close. And then you're looking at it and you're like, wait, did he even get him? And then you look and you see that he didn't. And it's like, no way. It was pure disbelief, even for him. And he's had a bunch of gaffes with pass balls, drop balls, not taking the mask off, a whole tons of different issues behind the
dish.
Getting
thrown out at third base, first out, third out, like.
And you're hitting 210. Like, I'm a guy, if he was even hitting 250 and had 33 homers, like, I can kind of look past that. Like, if you're doing enough on the offensive side of the ball, I'll give you a pass. But when you're not, and you're not doing it on either side, it's like, all right.
Yeah, if a good baseball player makes a mistake, you're more likely to forgive them than a bad baseball player.
Well said. Well said.
Because that's – so, that didn't surprise me. Because Gary Sanchez – is who he is. I mean, at a certain, like, he is who he is. This is the guy who doesn't bust it out of the box when we need him to. Now, you don't have to do it every time. You're a catcher. But when we need you to bust it out of the box, doesn't do it. When we need a big hit, yes, he got a hit today. He's got 21 home runs. You're hitting 208. You got 21 home runs. If you are a decent defensive catcher, maybe. But, like, for catcher, your number one job is defense. I think we can agree on that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Catcher will say that. It's very similar to, like, shortstop. Like, I don't need a shortstop that hits 35 home runs. I need a shortstop that is going to captain the infield. Gary Sanchez, if I talk about moving him to any other position – if I say, you know what, we got to get Gary a first baseman mitt. Maybe if we don't re-sign Rizzo, we see if we can figure out the bat, we get him the first base, right? His offensive numbers is a bad first baseman.
Yeah, definitely. He's been slightly above average for a catcher, like slightly above average offensively. And here's the thing defensively. Here's my issue. When he came into the league, I think he was throwing out like 38, 39% of base runners. Now he's at like 18%. Like, he stopped throwing people out to boot.
He had the arm injury a couple of years ago, and it wasn't like something major. You know, it wasn't like he had surgery, but like his arm, it just never came back.
You're right. Early 2017, yeah.
Yeah, and he occasionally he'll throw a guy out, and it's impressive. And we forget for a second that He's turned into Mike Piazza with no bat no defense. So he's turned into Mike Piazza's arm.
You're right. Every once in a while, he'll flash and he'll be like, oh, it was a 1.8 second pop time, second fastest in the league this season. But he's not doing that consistently. Like he's not controlling the running game. And that was supposed to be kind of his thing. And yeah, if you're not hitting 40 homers, you know, what are you doing? And look, in 2016, he had a bunch of bombs. 2017 and 2019, he hit 33, 34. And you will, like you said, when you're a better baseball player, you're willing to overlook certain things. And now we're not overlooking them. Look, you got to be strong up the middle if you want to win defensively, like you said, and at catcher and shortstop, we're horrible defensively. No wonder they're not winning.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, Gary's not starting tomorrow.
No. Cole's Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, at this point, game, you know, wild card game, win and you're in, whatever it is. Cole's on the mound. Gary Sanchez is on the bench again.
Absolutely, 100%. I don't think that's even a question right now.
So the whole situation, though, brings me back to a thing I've said a billion times. Gary Sanchez makes more than Joey Gallo.
Dude, how does arbitration work? I don't even
understand. Well, it's not. It's just what the team. Year. It's what the team offers, because like they don't want to go to arbitration, so they come to an agreement.
Guess we're more generous than the Rangers.
Yeah. I mean, so it's a terrible play, right? All you got to do, you just got to stand there. He was moving towards the dugout because he thought Villar gave himself up and Villar snuck the foot in there, right? When you have had so many mental errors, like you can't have more. That's the thing. It's like you can't have those. And then the bigger issue for me is that he stayed in the game.
And yeah, absolutely.
And I get it. People are like, well, what if Higgy goes in and he gets hurt? Then who's going to catch? Honestly, I don't care. I don't care because you, like, Aaron Boone needs to control. Like, to do these mental mistakes that have happened throughout the season shows that there is no fear of discipline.
Zero. But Boone's incapable. They know that. They know that Boone is incapable. Does not have it in him to pull somebody mid-game. And look, we're not saying be like, whatever, it was a Billy Martin in 78 when he pulled Reggie Jackson like mid-inning to embarrass him. Like, I'm not saying purposely do it like that, but the guy's got to come out of the game in between innings. You're absolutely right. Yeah,
that next step, Higgy's on the on-deck circle. It is what it is. No one's going to question it. There are going to be some people on Twitter who go, well, we're playing to win. We just lost four in a row to the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, all of a sudden, because fucking 9/11's tomorrow, we've got to be on our A game.
Boone's incapable of making that move. And you know what else I noticed on that play is that how – was it Villar or Pillar, whoever was running for the Villar. Mets? Yeah, Villar. Didn't give up on the play. Like, a lot – like, I feel like 90% of our
– had every excuse.
90% of our guys would have just stopped and waited to get tagged. He at least tried. And, like, that's another example of just, like, other teams doing more than we're doing.
Our guys would have stopped and come up lame with a quad.
Yeah.
From, like, stopping too short.
Well, Wade would have tried to do a somersault or something to get on SportsCenter, and everybody else would have pulled up lame.
Wade would have been on base.
Terrible, man. It starts with those two, and like you said, with coaching. These guys, Sanchez and Torres, neither of them have gotten better under this coaching staff. They've gotten worse.
Yeah, and no, like, there is no, like, I get it. Like, we let Girardi go. Boone's going to be more of like a player's manager. He's going to get a relationship with these young guys. But it's years later. They're not young guys anymore. These are grown-ass men who are not doing their job, and they're not doing their job in an embarrassing way. And when it came, like, that was an opportunity, in my mind, for Boone to show us anything.
Nothing. I don't, dude, he doesn't have it. And he seems like such a defeated, like, he just, like, he has those dead eyes. Like, he looks done. He looks cooked.
He's showing up to the meetings knowing he's going to get fired because he's not hitting his quota.
Right, right.
Like, he knows, like, I'm at this sales meeting. We're forecasting. And I'm forecasting the playoffs, but I'm not going to hit that number.
He's not. And I'll say this again. People are like, well, if you're going to replace Boone, who are you going to replace him with? Like, that's not my job. If my car breaks down on the side of the road, I know I need a new engine. It's not my job to know which exact fucking engine I need. Like, you can know that we need a change without knowing exactly who that change should be.
Yeah. And I there's a part of me that wonders, and it goes back to, you know, as we kind of go up the chain of blame, I don't know, who wants to come work for Brian Cashman? You chased Girardi out of town. You chased Torrey out of town. You brought in Boone to be a yes man. And now we've yesed ourselves into this situation.
Yeah, you know, if you get this job or take this job, you're not, I mean, you're not really making the lineup. You can have the final say maybe, but you know you're going to get strong input from the analytics department. And look, let's jump right to Cashman, because Boone was his guy. Cashman decided that this was the guy to lead this core to the next great chapter. He's going to be here for 10 years. Cashman's got to get a lot of blame here. Me and you have been harder on Cashman than most.
Brian Cashman has done nothing more than offer the most money to the best available free agent in the largest media market. He has made some great trades on paper that look like shit on grass. You know, that if you win, you win. And people say, well, you know, hey, he's the winningest GM ever. Or, you know, the Yankees in the last 10 years have won the most games or whatever it is. You know, people throw stats at me on Twitter. He is tied for dead last with World Series over the last 12 years.
Yeah, simple enough.
He's got
Forbes rings he walked into like a trust fund kid inheriting a business.
Those are not his rings.
No.
Those are not his rings at all. He won 2009 by buying the best available team.
Yeah, the dynasty was in place there. And look, there's a simple question here. Do you think that another GM, another man or woman, if given $210 million, do you think they could at least assemble a playoff team?
Yeah.
Or a division-winning team? I think the answer is yes.
I think Theo Epstein would kill it.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Brian Cashman will be the longest tenured GM in Yankees history after 2022. I mean, when was the oldest GM a GM?
It's got to be some guy in like the 30s or the Babe Ruth days or something. It's got to be pre-stuff.
Dan, you can just jump in and say stuff.
Yeah.
You got this stuff. We're a fourth place team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, you know, I think if you want to win, if I'm Hal and I actually want to show this fan base like I give a shit, I want to win, the day after the season's over, listen, we're not renewing Boone. You have Cashman make that call and let him know. And when Cashman goes, well, you know, so, all right, I'll start to get a list of guys together. Actually, you're not going to need to do that. Like, we appreciate your service. You're a part of the Yankees family, always and forever. We have this advisory, you know, bullshit role for you. And then you throw, I mean, it doesn't count towards the luxury tax, so back the fucking Brinks truck up for Theo Epstein. He's enjoying what he's doing, apparently. He's consulting for the league. He's got some other stuff. But there's talk that he'd be interested in the Mets job. We could beat the fucking Mets to get Theo Epstein.
Yeah, definitely. It's a way better situation.
Win the World Series in Boston, Chicago, and New York.
Perfecto.
I mean, he's already up there. Like, he's in the conversation for it. But you are the greatest front office person in the history of baseball if you do
hands
that.
Down.
Yeah, hands down. And sure. How old's Theo Epstein now? 27?
He's young. He's not 50 yet, is he?
No, he can't be, because I remember, like, he's embarrassingly – he's 47.
Jesus.
Yeah. By 50 years old, he could get this all done.
And even with Steve Cohen being the richest owner or whatever, the Yankees still have, I think, more and better quality resources from a baseball perspective, and I still think they have a better operation overall. If I, you know, and it's still the Yankees and the Mets. You can never get rid of that Mets stigma. It's always a stench that's going to be there compared to the Yankees. I think they can beat him out for Theo. My issue is the Yankees have become, instead of a results-oriented operation, they're a process-oriented operation. So when they lose or bad shit happens, they talk about bad luck. They talk about small sample size. We still have a good process. And that kind of results in Cashman never being on the hot seat. That is my biggest fear. That's my biggest issue with what they've become.
Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, I think it's fair to ask the question, Hal, do you want to own the Yankees?
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a different – well, no, not really. Do you want to own the Yankees or do you want to be the owner of the New York Yankees? If you want to own the Yankees, you can own the Yankees. You don't have to be the person who these things roll up to. You know, you just have the, you know, it's just a company that owns it. Lots of teams are owned by companies. And you say, hey, you got 210 mil, go out there, get it done. And you don't be a face that has to, you know, be answered to. You put Theo in charge and you let him answer to everything.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good move. I mean, he's clearly uncomfortable in any kind of spotlight or figurehead role. I don't think he likes being the face of ownership. He's admitted that.
No, he said that. Like, he enjoys owning the New York Yankees because they make money, because they're a revenue-driving company. That's what he enjoys doing.
Yeah, the business stuff, I'm sure the sponsorship, like corporate deal, I think that stuff, you know, partnering with Amazon Prime, like I think all the non-baseball stuff does.
Undefeated. He's undefeated as an owner in that on that front.
But he said, I don't enjoy the sport of baseball. Like, he's
hey,
very
guess what?
About it.
Me too lately, Hal. Me too. Yeah, I just think like – I just think it's time for a change. I think the game has evolved. I think when it comes to trades, everyone makes up excuses for these guys. Like, well, you know, like the players suck. Oh, well, it's been injuries and da-da-da-da-da. And so how can you can't blame Boone that they're not playing. Boone's job is to pick the best guys from what's available for him and get them in a position to win, motivate them. If you're saying, oh, well, it's not, you know, Boone doesn't have the right players, well, then it's Cashman's fault. And if, hey, the guys didn't play, Cashman put a good team together, they just didn't play well, well, then he didn't put a good team. That's how we measure if a team's good, if they play good baseball. And they don't. So eventually, like, there's got to be some kind of accountability. And the way baseball is structured, we don't get to just walk away from the player contracts. And the player contracts are too much money to just walk away from and eat those. But whatever it is that Cashman has on his contract, whatever Boone would have had on his contract, you can walk away from that. There's no, yeah, oh, you're out, whatever, $2 million a year for the next, whatever, 3 year, whatever Cashman has left. But that's it.
Exactly. You can't fire all the players. There's the saying, you can't fire all the players, so you fire a coach. And look, this isn't just 1 year. Again, they were bad last year. They were, what, 33-27? They snuck into the playoffs on the last day in an 18 bullshit mini-season format. This team has not been good for a while, man. It's not a small sample size. And yeah, look, you look at Cashman, and you really look what he's done on the pitching side. Look at these interchangeable names. Javier Vazquez, James Paxton, Jameson Taillon, Sonny Gray. They're all different names, but they're all the same. Like, guys he brought in, he traded for, that were supposed to be good pitchers, and they've all flopped. At some point, you just can't acquire starting pitching. And other than, like you said, other than giving the best ones the most money, like Cole and CeCe, hasn't made any good pitching moves.
We haven't developed a pitcher who's an everyday, you know, an every fifth day reliable player who's going to all-star games since Andy Pettitte. Yes, Seve has made an all-star game, or maybe he's made two. I don't remember off the top of my head, but he hasn't played in like 3 years.
Not just developed, they haven't traded for any either. That's the crazy thing. The only good ones they've gotten were free agency. You'd think Cashman trades for a starting pitcher every year. You'd think he would just luck into one at some point over 20 years, but he hasn't. They all flopped. It's almost impressive.
And at the same time, people like to blame, and, you know, and part of the excuses for him is, you know, there's a tax. You know, when he tries to make a trade, and I believe that there is a Yankee tax. And then I believe on top of that, there's a Brian Cashman tax. Because for all these other guys, and I don't know the age of every general manager across the league, Brian Cashman's the old man. He's the guy that some of these other GMs watched win World Series when they were kids, watched beat their team. All these GMs around the league weren't Yankee fans. They liked some other team that Brian Cashman took away their joy. Of course I'm going to charge a little extra for him. And a good way to reduce that tax is to reduce Brian Cashman's role.
Well said. Well, it's tough to argue. It also feels like Cash kind of has this complex where he only makes a trade if it's like, if we're going to be graded the instant winner, if it's like a Geo, like if we're getting somebody for nothing, like these the Geo deal, the Void deal, like it seems like he's kind of scared to, you know, give up. And he always give up a lot of prospects. Like we needed pitching at the 19 deadline. He wouldn't make a deal. Like it seems like he's scared to make a deal unless it's overwhelmingly in our favor. And you get hurt that way because sometimes you got to give up talent to get talent.
You're going to have to lose some trades.
Yeah.
It happens. I mean, it's a game built around going 3-for-10 makes you a Hall of Famer. And if you're trying to win 100% of trades, which, I mean, you should be because you're going up to, you know, you go up to the plate trying to bat 1,000. But if you realistically don't get in the box because you're worried you're going to strike out or you're worried you're going to foul out, you're never going to hit a home run. What a fucking analogy.
Yeah, it was good.
That was fucking good. That was
awesome. Got some good, like, tying different themes together to make a point today.
I'm fucking good today. You know what it is? I'm not high at all. Yet.
Coming off of last week, we were due for some regression to the mean, as the nerds say.
Yeah. Yeah, so I just think, regardless of what happens, unless the end result here is the Yankees do the impossible and win the World Series, gotta go. Everyone's gotta go.
Yeah, which would be shocking. It'd be shocking. Shocking.
And then if you can get someone like Epstein and you say, hey, what can you do? Do you think you could do anything with what we have? And if he's like, you know, no, not really. Like, I need this year to get Britain off the, you know, payroll. I think, does Chapman come off too?
Chapman has one more year with Britain too.
Yeah. So, like, let me clear out this payroll. 2022 is going to be a rough year. But guess what? 2021 was a rough year. 2020 was a rough year. And if I'm going to have a bad time, I'd rather just tell me up front I'm going to have a bad time. Don't tell me it's going to be a great time. And then do this shit.
Terrible. Yeah, and you ask him questions. What do you think we should do with Judge? Do you want to pay him? Do you want to let him walk? Like, ask, you know, ask the key questions about the future. You know, the prospects, you got Volpe. And that's the thing. That's the thing with shortstop. You'd mentioned maybe like a 1-year stopgap a la Didi. You know, that could be an Andrelton Simmons. He's a great fielder. Can't really hit. You give him a 1-year deal until Volpe is ready. Volpe's tearing it up.
Yeah.
So that's their other option. They don't need to sign a monster star if they think Volpe's going to be ready in a year and they want to sign a stopgap. Yeah, yeah, you ask,
even if you trade for someone the way, like, I didn't know who the fuck Didi Gregorius was when we traded for him. You give me a guy who's going to bat 260 and make 10 errors. I'm fine. Bat eighth. I'm totally okay with that for a year and a half.
It's catcher, it's short, and it's center field. That's the key for me. That, what are we, you know, you asked Theo, what do you, clearly it's not going to be, Hicks is not an everyday center fielder.
I want to, what's Aaron Hicks look like right now? I feel like he got fat. There's just something about him that I could just see him blowing up like a tick.
I heard he was on the field like celebrating after the walk off. Cause I saw Tiana tweeted like, oh, don't get hurt again, celebrating. I guess he must be around, hanging around the team now after 6 months.
Yeah. He's probably, if this team makes the playoffs, he's ready to be like, guess what, guys? I've been working out in Arizona all year.
Can I come back and hit third?
Yeah, I'm going to come back. I'm going to hit third. I'll hit one big home run, and that's it.
Well, what do you want to do in center? Do you want to see if Gallo can do it? You try Judge as the guy?
I want to get that gun from the first situation. My fingerprints are already on it. No. I guess Hicks was in the dugout for 9/11 too. He got caught with a giant F-bomb on the air. Yeah, I mean, you're not getting anything for Hicks. Hicks is going to come into camp as an option. I think Hicks is our fourth outfielder.
Yeah, Hicks is, they're going to take, he'll take a picture on Instagram of him looking ripped in February, say he's in the best shape of his life, come into camp on a mission, and then he'll strain an oblique week three of the of training camp.
Yeah, he'll be ready to go because, like, he's got to come back so he can get his brother access to suites.
Right, right, right. That's
that's what motivates that family.
That's key. We've ripped them a lot. One more thing I want to touch on is the whatever beef we had last night.
That was stupid. We were wrong.
really stupid. And you know what the worst part of it for me is? Every time we have this beef, whether it's Aaron Judge with the boombox or taking the shirt off or the jacket off or whatever in Houston in July or this thing with the Mets, fucking win the game if you're going to talk shit. Win the fucking game. Doing this and losing is the worst look ever, man. It's so embarrassing.
After losing on Friday in embarrassing fashion, winning on 9/11, and then coming back and hitting that, you know, game-tying home run, I don't give a shit what anyone says to you when you're rounding the bases. You do not stop. Say whatever you want as you're going. But for Stanton to turn around, he's wrong.
Yeah, agreed. And look, they said Wandy was whistling or whatever. We've called out other teams for whistling. You know, it is what it is. Do I think the Yankees were relaying signs? Probably not. But were they probably being obnoxious? Yeah, I think the Yankees on the bench do act obnoxious sometimes. I think all teams do. But just, you know, just own it. And for Lindor to be the guy to kill Green at the end. Look, Green is the one who blew both of those key Astros games to Altuve. Every time we talk shit, it ends with Green letting up a backbreaking home run.
We keep challenging people to hall brawls, and we keep fucking getting backpacked like bananas. It's not like that's what that is. You tied that game. You fucking turned around to yell at the guy who said something to you when you went by, and then that guy won the game. And guess what? Francisco Lindor is a Met now. Like, he got his whatever, his Met pinstripes yesterday. From the fucking boo, and then our whole fan base is just like, oh, did you see Guardy boo? Guardy did the thumbs down. We showed them. We lost the game. Oh, people were so excited because Cole got over the railing fast and was ready to fight. The last thing I want is Gerrit Cole running onto the field to start fighting Dominican dudes. That's the last thing that I want. They're going to fuck him up.
Yeah, he would definitely lose in a fight.
Gerrit Cole is not winning a fight against anybody.
He's probably never been in a fight. I'd put a healthy wager on that he's never been in a fist fight.
Probably like a hate crime in high school or something. I've heard a lot of rumors about him hiding some pretty bad views behind the Lord.
Interesting.
Yeah, one of those. It's just you go out there and you do that and you disrupt the game and, you know, that didn't light a fire on her. We've talked for years. I mean, every once in a while, early in the season, the team slumps, and we're like, you know what? Let's get in an Orioles brawl. Let's go. I need Graham Lloyd. That's not who this team is, because that didn't happen in September. We know this team is who they are, and that's a fourth-place team.
Yeah, man, that's depressing. It's like being in fourth just makes it worse. The fact that the Blue Jays ran us down. After me and you were – like, we mentioned them. Nobody else was talking about the Blue Jays all throughout the summer. Me and you were like, you know, they're only a game back. They got this great lineup.
Yeah. They don't quit. I'll tell you what. Same play Friday night. The Blue Jays probably score on Sanchez, too.
Oh, easily. And for everybody that uses our COVID excuses or our injury excuses, the Blue Jays have been playing at satellite sites and minor league fields.
They've had three home stadiums.
Yeah.
It's just... it's not a good situation. I'm happy that Cole is healthy and he's going to make a start on Tuesday. But, you know, it's you don't need him hopping railings at this point. And that's not like what the things that our fan base look for to get excited over is just like it's not winning.
No, I mean, the only suspense really left is like, is Cole going to win the Cy Young?
Yeah.
What else do we have to...
And, like, I think we're still going to be in the mix for the playoffs throughout the end of this thing. We may make the playoffs.
We'll be into it the last week. But, I mean, those last three against the Rays, I could see the Rays... obviously, they've already clinched the AL East. They might have clinched the number one seed. They're still going to play us balls to the wall at Yankee Stadium. If people think that they're just going to rest up for the playoffs and let us in, you're wrong.
Yeah, no, there's...
nothing more than to knock us out.
It's the Yankee tax. It's the win's a little better when it's against us. Imagine getting to end our season. We're supposed to be in first place by 10 games. And now you're going to get to end our season? Yeah, obviously. They'll fucking bring out Glasnow. Will probably come back for that.
Yeah. And it's with all the times we've thrown at them and had arguments with them and – yeah, they're definitely going to want to. It's crazy. I believe we were the heaviest division favorite in all of this, in the entire sport from Vegas in March. They were minus 220 to win the East.
Yeah, we were easily supposed to do that. And I mean, we have this stretch coming up now. Three against the Orioles, three against the Indians, three against the Rangers. Bad teams. Bad baseball teams. But we our pitching is still questionable. I mean, like, yes, we've got Cole tomorrow. He's going for a Cy Young. It's great to I'll take Gerrit Cole over anyone else in our rotation, but he's still coming off leaving a game for a hamstring. Like, yeah, his bullpen went fine. We get into a fourth inning, it doesn't look good. You know, when you lose one of these games to the Orioles, like, that fucking crushes you.
Yeah, I mean, you look at these nine games, three of them are in Camden Yards, the other six are in the Bronx, but that's basically nine home games. Camden Yards is as close to a home game as
it gets. But is it?
You got,
is it? I mean, it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in September. I don't think you're getting a lot of Yankee fans. I just think, I think you're playing a high school game. There's no one there. A couple of people's parents.
Maybe.
Maybe a scout or two.
Got to go 7-2. 7-2 minimum. If they go 5-4 during this nine-game stretch, season's over. Or 4-5.
I mean, by the time we next talk, they'll have – it's six games. Three against the Orioles, three against the Indians.
5-1.
We have to.
Minimum, right. Yeah.
Because after that, we get to go to Boston – go to Toronto, and then we get the Rays at home. And if we are tied with Boston or Toronto for those that last spot, we have to go to one of them for the chance to go to the other one.
And you're using Cole in that first one, so you won't even have Cole for the actual wild card game. You're fucked.
That's if the rotation doesn't shake out where we've got to use Cole. You know, if the last game of the season comes down to it, you got to use Cole.
Right.
Saturday, you got to use Cole. Friday, you just, let's see. Cole, 1, 2, 3, 4. So Cole will go Tuesday, Sunday, 1, 2, 3, 4. Next Saturday against the Red Sox.
Yeah, they'll line him up for Fenway. For
and
sure.
Then
one more, what,
one,
when?
Two,
Thursday.
3, 4. He's scheduled to pitch the Friday night against the Rays at home. Which would get him, he'd be fine for the wild card game probably. But
yeah, or they could always manipulate it by a day. But yeah, and
we're not in a manipulate, we're in fourth place.
I know.
We're manipulating.
And isn't it funny though, 2 weeks ago we were like, you know, we've rallied, we'll at least get the home wild card game, we can rest Cole up. It's crazy how much things change from week to week. Like 2 weeks ago, it looked like, oh, we're gonna be comfortably hosting the wild card game. Now we're not even sure if we're gonna be in it.
We'd be comfortably if we just played 500 ball like the rest of the season, and we're not.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's embarrassing. And, you know, yeah, it's, you know, Green doesn't have – we have no bullpen. There is no
Super
one.
Super bullpen.
Because – and, like, Lasagna is a few days away from throwing.
He's probably done for the year, if we're being honest. A strained rotator cuff, that's a big deal.
Like, we have – if it comes down to it, I mean, yeah, Chapman's still the closer, I guess.
What a joke. I mean, the Chapman, Britton, Green trio, the quote-unquote three-headed monster is just totally nosedive.
Remember
totally
Darren nosedive. O'Day?
Oh, and Justin Wilson.
Yeah. Remember Jay Bruce? Jay Bruce was this year.
That feels like, yeah, years ago, like those early April games.
Yeah. Jay Bruce is the Troy Tulowitzki of Kevin Youkilis.
Of Vernon Wells.
Yeah.
Of Lyle Overbeck. No, and let's remember, like, if they start out 3-9 or whatever next year, let's remember that that's who they are and not this bullshit small sample size. Like, me and you were panicking in April when everybody else was saying, oh, it's still cold, they haven't gelled yet, da-da-da-da-da. If you start out awful, you're probably going to be awful.
Yeah, if you don't play baseball good, probably not going to be good results. Hot take.
Groundbreaking analysis. Dan, you got anything for the program today? You're on mute.
Yeah, I can't hear you. It says you're not on mute on Skype, but we can't hear you.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. No.
We got the world nothing. May never get to hear this segment.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
That was weird. So when you were talking about Theo Epstein, it got me thinking. So he went to Boston in 2001. And then they won the World Series in 2004, which broke the curse of the Bambino. And then he went to
Why did you put the curse of the Bambino in quotes like you didn't think it was real? Like, well, you're just like a Florida guy talking about COVID. Like, you know, COVID. Like, it was real.
Yeah. Well, okay, so then in 2011, he goes to the Cubs. They won the World Series in 2015, breaking the Billy Goat curse.
Yeah.
Right? So if we want Theo Epstein to come to the Yankees, I'm kind of thinking that we need a curse. So what should the Yankees' curse be?
I think fuck. I've been saying fuck a lot this year. That's my curse.
I would say the new stadium, but they won the first year of the new stadium, so that kind of eliminates that. Wouldn't be anything with Cashman. They have not won since the boss died. He died in July of 2010.
Yeah.
They won right before that, so I'm going with that.
He died on like July 4th. I think he died on his birthday.
Yeah, well, it was because I remember it was him and Bob Shepard were like a week apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my curse of the boss.
Yeah, I mean, trust me, I can make up a curse if that's what we need. Like, it's just like it's depressing. And, you know, what's really depressing is that every week we get on here and I'm like, fuck these guys. And then 7 o'clock, I'm in front of the TV every fucking night.
I am too, but it's not with the same intent. Like, they've been on my second screen a lot more. It's been on mute a lot more. Like, I'm not sitting down at 7:04.
Yeah.
You know, like 2002 through whatever, 2019, 2020, Nick. Like, it's much more, you know, a little bit de-escalated.
I forget the comedian. He's the guy who got hired and fired from SNL, like, right away. He's got a stand-up special that came out. I'll find it while I'm talking to give it to you. But he has a whole bit on, you know, because of COVID, he went, you know, he lived in New York, so he went back to his parents' house for a good amount of time. Shane Gillis, that's what his name is. And he's got a whole thing. He's like, yeah, and I got to watch my dad watch the news. It's like, I have a Fox News dad. A lot of us have Fox News dads. And I realize I treat the Yankees like a Fox News dad. I just watch until they hit a point where I'm like, can you believe Mr. Potato Head's trans? I'm out of here. Like, I watch the Yankees until they make me go to bed. Until I'm like, can't deal with this.
Yeah, a lot of times it's been Haney. Like, they'll bring in Haney at that point, and that's like the clearest indication. Like, sixth inning of, like, a West Coast game, down four, up, boom, Haney's in.
I'm done. And I'm just like, can you believe what they're doing there? I'm out. That's what it is. I watch the Yankees like a Fox News dad. I was like Sunday night baseball. We had my in-laws over yesterday. So I like grill. I ran a TV outside. So I watched the first like two innings outside last night. Really just getting ready for, you know, fall weather. But I don't know if the Yankees will be there.
No, I don't either. It was weird. The game started, I guess, because of football. It started an hour later.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's because football started.
I was ready to go at 7, too. I was like, all right. And I was like, 8? I got to wait till 8 for these fucking jerk-offs.
And 8 o'clock on a Sunday is just the worst. There's nothing worse than that.
And can we just talk about the 9/11 broadcast real quick?
Yeah, I didn't see a whole lot of it, so I'll defer to you.
Fox just did an awful job with it. Like, they had this whole ceremony, and Fox was, like, cutting to commercials. And, like, don't hype it up as like the 9/11 game and then not show the entire ceremony. Their
money comes before everything for them.
I know, but like being Fox, you took it off of our local broadcasts.
Right.
We can't watch it on Yes. We can't watch it on SNY. Like, we don't get the Yankee, you know, the New York experience. Mm-hmm. And so I know for you guys, it's maybe a little different. I'm a New Yorker. I lived in New York on 9/11. And Joe Buck said it at the beginning. He was like, it's different for New Yorkers. Like, you can tell it's different for us. To take that game and then cut out of the ceremony was atrocious. And I'm not saying because, like, it's a disrespect to, like, first responders or whatever. You're just a jerk off. Like, that's what, you know, people tuned in to see that. And then also, whoever put that together, to have John Franco not with the sanitation people on there is insane. The only thing I know about John Franco is he wore a New York sanitation t-shirt under his jersey every game because his dad worked for the Department of Sanitation. How do you roll him out there with the NYPD if you're going to sanitation? If you're in Citi Field and you go Department of Sanitation with John Franco, that place fucking erupts.
Yeah, would have went nuts. That's a miss. It's a misfire on their part. I thought it was cool seeing Joe Torre in the broadcast just because it reminded me of, like, you know, happier times, just seeing Uncle Joe.
Also, too many camera angles showing that Joe Torre's catcher was a little closer. He's an old man.
Yes, it was, dude. It was like they just 10 feet closer.
Yeah, which I get. He's an old man. Bobby Valentine doing his little stunt, like, I'm going to run to the mound. Like, I'm going to throw from there. I almost jumped through the fucking TV and killed him.
He's running for governor or mayor?
I think he already – Connecticut. Mayor of Stamford, Connecticut.
Okay.
Where Bobby Valentine owns a restaurant where he claims to have invented the wrap sandwich. It's insane.
It's up there with the guy who
founded Chick-fil-A, claims to have invented the chicken sandwich. It's just not – unless it was fucking, I don't know, the year 200. Like, once bread was invented, chicken went on it. You didn't invent the wrap, Bobby Valentine. Yeah, I didn't like him running up to the top of the mound. You've won nothing, Bobby Valentine.
Yeah, and it's a little look at me, you know, making it about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was not a fun Subway series or a Blue Jay series, but they won today. We're 1-0 this week. So
1-0 this week.
Let's see.
And that's all that matters. I think that's all we got.
Yeah,
they just got to win some fucking games.
Sweep the Orioles. Start there.
Yeah. That's all it is. I know a lot of people, you know, a lot of teams use, we have a bunch of one game seasons coming up. That's all it is. Just gotta win. Gotta win.
We have 18, 19 left, 20 left, under 20, I think.
3, 6.
I think 18
9.
Games.
Yeah, we got 18 games left.
Okay. 12 and 6 probably gets them in.
12-6 puts us in a good position.
Yeah.
I had said we needed to win 2 out of 3 the rest of the season. And then, you know, we won that 13 in a row. But then we had this terrible losing streak that that gets us behind pace. So I don't even know if that gets us there. It's going to be a rough one. You can follow Nick on Twitter.
At NKirbyNYY.
You can follow the show at George's Box Pod. You can follow intern Dan.
Juski99.
How's your grandma doing?
She's doing good. She texted me yesterday and said, going to Connecticut and then Canada, need a driver next week.
Like
Connecticut and Canada.
Like she's driving from Florida?
Yeah, and they wanted me to drive next week. And I was like, I have responsibilities.
What responsibilities do you have?
Work, school.
Isn't school like mostly remote?
No, I'm on campus twice a week.
Oh. Man, making a nice drive with Trish the Dish, hitting every Cracker Barrel, playing the peg game, sitting in a rocking chair outside.
Listening to our pod.
Yeah, I might fly down and make this drive. I love a good road trip.
I do too, but, you know, week notice.
Nick, how's the ankle?
4 weeks in, but who's counting yet? Today is day 29. Tomorrow's day 30, so I'll either have a cast for 2 more weeks or I'll get a boot.
Oh, tomorrow we find out.
So you want to actually know how crazy I am. The last time I was there.
I do want to clarify that I have a feeling that I know how crazy you are.
So last Tuesday I was there and they were like, you know, you're getting a cast for 2 more weeks. Come back on the 14th and we're probably just going to give you another cast. And I didn't really like hearing that. So I actually set up a second opinion.
Wait, hold on. For Wednesday. Last
August 31st.
Okay, so two weeks ago.
Yes.
2 weeks ago, they say, come back on the 14th, and we're probably just going to continue to put you in casts.
Yes.
2 weeks out, we feel we're staying cast. You got to go second opinion then.
Yeah, no, I did, yeah.
Because you were possibly getting out of the cast on the 31st, right?
Right. See, that's my issue. Here's my other issue. I'm cleared to put 50% of my weight on it. So I weigh, like, you know, between $140, $145, depending on the day. So that's what, like 70... Put like 70 pounds, 75 pounds.
I weigh 100 pounds more than you.
Yeah, I'm kind of small for sure. Yeah.
Tell this and I got to tell you a funny story about you and my wife.
This is my last thing, my issue.
Yeah.
They're telling me I could put 75 pounds of weight on it, but they're telling me I can't get a boot. And that just, I'm not a doctor, but it just doesn't compute for me. It just doesn't add.
So did you go get a second opinion?
The second opinion is scheduled for the 15th, the day after.
So you're going in tomorrow to your doctor. If yes. they put you in a boot.
No, they put me in a cast. I'm going to the second opinion and being like, what happened? What's the worst that can happen if I'm in a boot? Like, am I going to, because if I'm not going to die or my leg's not going to snap in half, like I want it.
So, well, I mean, there's long term effects of like, you know, you walk, you throw off your gait, then eventually you need your hip replaced. There's stuff like that. Long term effects.
Yeah.
But if you go to your regular doctor tomorrow and they're like, yep, you're in a boot, you just cancel that other opinion.
Exactly. Exactly.
And what is, aside from, I'm sure, the regular just frustration, do you have like something where you're like, I can't be in a cast for this?
Oh, yeah. I'm going away. I'm going away for the weekend. So that's.
Oh, is this your bachelor party?
Yes.
Are you, and you guys are not going to a game anymore?
No, I eliminated that a while ago, pre-ankle, just by the Yankees sucking. So I'm lucky because we're staying – like it's a really cool like beach house type thing with like – there's like a pool in the back. So it's not like I'll be crammed into like a little small Airbnb. So I'll still be able to enjoy it, hang outside.
If you're in a cast, you can put your feet in the pool a little bit.
Exactly. It's like
little stuff. All makes sense, Nick. You're not actually that crazy on this one.
All right. Thanks. So, all right. Dude, I feel like for what I have, I feel like 4 weeks in a cast.
It feels like a lot. It feels like a lot. I totally get it. So – when was – it was 2 weeks ago when we talked about John Smoltz being bald.
Yes, yes.
So we – the next day, my wife is listening to the podcast, and she comes in and she goes, it's kind of weird that Nick was like piling on with that. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, well, he's bald. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she was like, Nick Kirby is a bald person. And I was like, Nick has a full head of hair. And I go, here, and I pulled up your engagement photos. And she was like – what the fuck? She was like, I thought Nick was bald. And I go, let me ask you this. Have you ever seen Nick without a hat on? And she goes, that's got to be it. Nick keeps his hair on point. So on the sides, it doesn't look like you've got like a ton of hair because you fresh haircut because you're going to Yankee Stadium every time we see you. And I go, and he's always had a hat on. I go, the only other times you've seen Nick are like we've never gone to dinner together. We've never double dated. You guys come over to watch a Yankee game. You're wearing a hat. We're at a bar for the Yankee game. You're wearing a hat. So, yeah, she was just like, it's just weird, especially being bald. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Dude, I get that all the time just because I always have a Yankee hat on. People assume that I'm bald. And I literally, like, somebody will make a bald joke and I literally have to, like, take it off. And be like, I'm not bald, guys.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm not. She was like, no way. And I was like, no, I'm not even telling you. It's not even like he has some hair. He has a full head of hair. And then she asked me not to bring it up on the podcast, and then I forgot last week. And she was like, thanks for not bringing it up. I go, oh, I forgot. I got to bring it up next week.
I'm bringing it up. Yeah, a little offended, but no, I get that. I get that a lot. I get accused of being bald. It's like a Curb episode or something. But.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, you know where to follow them. Follow me at JJ from the Bronx. I don't know. Leave us 5 stars. Leave us a review. You know, all those things. Listen, we're all just kind of trucking through this life together. We'll see you at the parade.